Good evening, everyone. I want to focus today on the words of our Lord and today in the gospel here of Matthew, where Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Notice, though, Jesus says this and does not say, if your brother sins against you, don't tell him anything. Because, bro, don't judge. That's not what Jesus says. This little phrase, don't judge, is something that has become sort of a catchphrase for Christians and non-Christians alike. It's like all morality, even Christian morality, the teachings of Jesus can be all reduced to these two words, don't judge. Particularly when it comes to issues of sexuality and the meaning of the body. But is this really orthodox Christian teaching? Is this really what the whole moral law can be summed up in? And when Jesus said that we should not judge, what did he really mean? So what we're going to do is we're going to look, before we come back to this gospel passage, at the phrase or the part of the gospel in Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus talks about judging. So I'll read the whole passage and then take some time to try and explain it. Jesus says, stop judging that you may not be judged. For as you judge, so will you be judged. And the measure with which you measure will be measured out to you. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me remove that splinter from your eye, while the wooden beam is in your eye? You hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your eye first. Then you will see clearly to remove the splinter from your brother's eye. So this is the passage where Jesus says, do not judge. But if you pay attention to the context of the phrase, you get a deeper understanding of what our Lord is trying to say. He's not saying, do not judge or never make judgments. But instead, he is admonishing us to be merciful, forgiving, and understanding when we do make judgments. So when we judge others, God is then going to judge us in according to the mercy that we show to others. If he really meant then that we should never judge, then that would mean that we would never be judged. We would die and just go straight to heaven and it'd be an eternal party. But that's not what the Lord is saying. More importantly, in the second part of the passage, Jesus is saying not to be hypocrites. Before we start noticing the sin in others, the splinter in their eye, we have to recognize our own sin, the beam that is in our own eyes, which means we've got to be aware of our own faults and our own sins before we start acting like the Pharisees, thinking, oh, I never sin, but look at all these other sinners. That's what our Lord is trying to say, that we have got to admit first that we are a sinner like everybody else, before we can begin admonishing other people. So, how can it mean that we should never judge anybody, never call anybody out for sin, when Jesus says that we have to remove the beam in our own eye before we can start talking to people about removing the splinter in their eyes? Jesus expects us to do that. But we have to first be willing to point the finger at ourselves. He doesn't say, oh man, just let your brother walk around with that splinter in his own eye because, hey, you're not supposed to judge. Not at all. We've got to understand our Lord's words in context. He wants us to tell our brother something, but to do so in great mercy and humility. We also, though, I think, have to see Jesus' words in the overall understanding of the Christian teaching on fraternal correction. The responsibility we as Christians and Catholics have to hold each other accountable and to call each other to deeper conversion. That's the real message of today's gospel passage. If someone sins against you, then in all charity, go tell him something. Say, listen, man, you did something wrong. You hurt me. And call them to repentance and conversion. But Jesus says, if they don't listen to you, then go get other people in the church involved. And then finally, if that person still does not listen, if they refuse to repent, Jesus says, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Cast them off. Get rid of them because they are not worthy of being called brother, a fellow Christian. This surely does not sound like the don't judge man that we hear so often out of people's mouths. We also, if we're going to understand what this passage means and what it means to judge or not judge, we have to see how the early church, particularly the apostles, understood our Lord's teaching. And so there are many passages that I could give to you. I'm going to focus on one. And it's a passage that blows people's minds because they have a hard time believing that St. Paul would actually say this. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. St. Paul says, now this is the inspired word of God, but I now write to you not to associate with anyone named a brother. That means someone who calls themselves Christian. If he is immoral, greedy, an idolater, a slanderer, a drunkard, or a robber. Not even to eat with such a person. For why should I be judging outsiders? Meaning those who are not believers, those who are not members of the church. Is it not your business to judge those within? Is it not your business, Paul is saying, to judge those who call themselves Christians? God will judge those outside. Purge the evil person from your midst. So what Paul is saying is, those who are not believers, those who don't ascribe to the teaching of Christ, those who don't claim to be Christian, let the Lord judge them. He's going to read their conscience. He's going to understand where they are and what they believe and judge them accordingly. Because they don't ascribe the same teachings that we do, the same rules that we do. What Paul is implying is that we as Christians have a certain code of conduct, a certain way of acting. And there's certain things that if we live this lifestyle, if we refuse to give it up, we really can't call ourselves Christians. We can't make up the moral law ourselves. Well, I want to be a Christian. I can act this way or that way. No, there's a law that we need to follow. And we have a responsibility to learn that law and that set of rules and give it to others. It's not all about rules, but it's important. Think of it this way. The etymology of the word judge comes from two Latin words, jus and dicere. Jus means the law, and dicere means to speak or to say. So when we judge, we are speaking or saying the law to somebody else, or maybe to ourselves, and asking whether or not you are living according to that law, that set of rules set down. So we have a responsibility to judge, to say this is how Christians act. This is the teaching of Christ. This is the teaching of the church. And if you claim to be Christian, you need to be acting in this certain way. And if you're not, then please repent. But if you refuse to repent, or even worse, try to justify your own behavior, then you really can't call yourself a Christian. So I don't see how Paul could be any clearer than this. But if all we do is we focus on the two words of Jesus, don't judge, and don't see it within the overall context, then we are distorting the teachings of Jesus. We as humans, and as Christians and Catholics, must judge actions, whether or not they are in accord with the moral law and the teachings of Jesus. And sometimes we are going to have to judge, to call out other people for not acting as Christians. Why? The primary reason is because we care about their eternal salvation. We care about the state of their soul. Sin, especially grave sin, mortal sin, is serious business. And we believe that if we allow that to stay in our soul and we die in that state, then we risk losing our eternal salvation. And so just as if we saw somebody doing something that was destructive to their body, we'd say, hey man, you need to cut it out. If we see someone doing, a Christian, doing something destructive to their souls and the souls of others, we have the responsibility to call them to repentance because we do not want to see them risk losing their soul. And so it's love that motivates what's good for the other person. This is the heart of the gospel, not only loving our brothers and sisters, but also calling them to conversion. Because Jesus said, if you want to believe the good news, you must repent from sin, to give it up and to have that goodwill to try to live in accordance with the gospel. But it's not just for the salvation of souls, it's also for what we could call the well-being of the church, the body of Christ. Sin, we believe, leads to disunity, to discord, to disquietude, and it can lead to great scandal in the body of Christ. The church is called to be holy, in our unity, that witness of the love and the unity of Christ to the world. But if there's sin, that unity begins to break apart. And so this understanding of how if we allow sin, it can destroy lives and it can destroy the church and lead to others being pushed away from Christ helps us to realize on a deeper level than what we keep hearing about, well, I don't really need the church because my faith is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's just me and Jesus. That simply cannot be real because of what the gospel tells us. We have to consider the impact that our actions have on other people. We're called to call people to conversions. That our actions and the actions of others impact the church. If it was all about a personal relationship with Jesus, then our Lord in today's gospel would have said, if your brother sins against you, then don't say anything because, man, it's none of your business. That's between them and me. Don't get involved in that. It's all about a personal relationship with Jesus. But we understand that we're members of the body of Christ and we, to a great extent, are responsible for one another. So this helps us understand what it means to hold others accountable and what it means to judge. So when, though, specifically, is it wrong to judge others? I'll give you three main reasons why, or three main areas why. First of all, when we are judging someone else's soul, we're basically condemning them, saying, you are going to go to hell, or you should go to hell, or you deserve to go to hell. Only God can say that. He is the ultimate judge. We should desire that all men be saved. We can say your actions could potentially lead you to hell, but we can't condemn others. Number two, it's wrong when we judge their intentions. We can look at someone's actions and saying, what you're doing is wrong. It's not in accord with the teachings of Christ. But it could be that in their heart, they're choosing these evil things for a good reason. It doesn't mean the evil thing all of a sudden becomes good, but it means we may not fully understand why they're choosing it. Only God can read their hearts and read their consciences. And third and finally, and probably most obviously, it's wrong to judge by appearances. How often have we done that? We've looked at somebody and said, well, that individual must be some grave sinner or some terrible reprobate. Well, then in reality, we realize they are very devout, good, and holy people. We can't judge by appearances. Now, you can say, Father, this all sounds great, but remember last summer when Pope Francis said about the gays, who am I to judge? Isn't Pope Francis the Pope? Doesn't he interpret how we understand this passage? Well, again, just like we try to look at what Jesus said in context of the entire gospel, let's try to understand what Pope Francis said, not from what we heard in the media, but in the context of what he said. The Pope was saying this in off-the-cuff comments on a plane coming back from World Youth Day in Buenos Aires, responding to questions from reporters. He was specifically talking about or responding to a question about the gay lobby that supposedly exists in the Vatican. Very active homosexual priests who are out to promote a very, very specific agenda. You may have heard about this in the news. In responding, first he talks about the reality of sin, the sin in the church, but also the possibility of conversion, that we're all called to a deeper conversion of Christ, in Christ. But then, this is what he says. He's specifically speaking about gay priests potentially in the Vatican. He says, if a person is gay and seeks the Lord and has goodwill, who am I to judge him? The Catechism of the Catholic Church explains this in such a beautiful way. It says these persons must not be marginalized because of this. They must be integrated in society. So the Holy Father is talking about a very specific group, but he's talking about individuals who experience same-sex attraction, not those who say, this is who I am, I should be able to do whatever I want to do and call myself a Christian. He's not saying that at all. He's talking about people who experience the attraction and seek the Lord and have a good will. They want to change. They don't want to act on this. They want to come to find redemption. These are the people that the Pope says that he is not able to judge, because he knows they are trying to renounce sin and trying to live a morally upright life. He understands what their intentions are in this regard. But unfortunately, the media took this one passage, this one little phrase, completely and utterly out of context and distorted it. But the fact is, people, including Catholics, didn't go back and try to understand the context of what the Pope said. They simply took it out of context and began using it as a way to beat people into submission and shut dialogue down. It's not the way it's supposed to work. We need to be able to understand not only the Pope, but also Jesus in proper context. So what are the things that we can take away from this? Our reflection on the words of Christ and what it means to judge or not judge. Number one, don't rattle off slogans. You can't reduce all of religion to a slogan. And when Christians do it, we look like fools. There are certain things that we should be very, very passionate about. But if we're going to take something out of it in Scripture, please try to understand it in context so that we don't make ourselves look like fools, nor do we make Jesus look like an idiot. Number two, it's not very helpful to do that. Number two, there is a certain way that Christians and Catholics are supposed to behave. Granted, we as humans fall and we make mistakes and we sin and we can repent from our sins. But if we are living lives of debauchery, they're totally not in accord with the gospel wants and not even trying to repent, then don't call yourself a Christian. There are certain ways that we have an obligation to behave. Now, don't try to take the gospel message and distort it just to justify our own behavior. Third and finally, in charity and in love, but sometimes with a very straight firmness of admonishing others, we must be willing to call other Christians to conversion. To say, bro, what you're doing, that's not how a Christian behaves. Let's try to change our ways. Let's go back to confession. And even more importantly, we need to be willing to listen to those words of admonishment when our brothers and sisters call us out to conversion. Not getting defensive, not saying, don't judge me. But instead saying, you know what, yes, the way I'm living is not in accord with the gospel. I need to be living that life in the spirit, not the life of the flesh. And give thanks to God for that call to repentance and do our best to respond to grace to live in the good news of salvation given to us by Jesus Christ. Amen.